All right, everybody, it is time for another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. But before we dive in to our awesome, awesome guest and conversation today, I want to remind you guys of two things. And the first one is that if you go to crypto101insider.com, you can join our private community. Here's where we have our model portfolio and all of our top picks. We also have Crypto 101 University, where we have hours and hours and hours of written and video content that explains blockchain and explains cryptocurrency in a very bite-sized and easy to understand way. And we have a weekly newsletter that goes out and quarterly state of crypto addresses that go out. There is just a ton of value packed into this every which way. So I want you guys first to go to crypto101insider.com today, if you haven't already. I also want to remind you guys that Pizza Mind and I recently just finished a book. It took 11 months of our lives to write, and we're calling it Crypto Revolution, Your Guide to the Future of Money. We walk you through this fascinating world of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, and it's part history book, it's part instructional guide, and it's going to really show you guys why cryptocurrencies are globally disruptive and how they're going to actually change in real life and in real terms the way that we buy and sell and even live. We include a bunch of how-tos on getting started with your first exchanges. We give you tips on how to safely buy and sell and store cryptocurrencies, as well as how do we evaluate potentially good cryptocurrencies. And the best part of the book is that we're giving it away for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. So go to cryptorevolution.com and pick up your copy today. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. And today I am not joined by my co-host, Pizza Mind. He is MIA. No, I'm kidding. He's on a flight right now. He wishes he could be here because he's really excited about this, just like I am. We're bringing on Hisham Khan, who is the founder and CEO, co-founder and CEO of CCAI. So we're going to dive into it. Cryptocurrencies, actionable insight. Hisham, welcome to Crypto 101 podcast.
Thanks for having me. Really, really excited to be here and tell the story of CCAI.
Yeah. Hey, I think a lot of people who are watching this right now are going to be very, very interested, particularly because I'm looking at the website right now and I'm looking at your tagline and it says advanced trading made easy for every trader. Wow. That's pretty powerful, right? I think a lot of people want to have those advanced capabilities. What does that look like on CCAI?
Sure. So just to give you a bit of a backstory, when we started to build CCAI, and going even a bit earlier than that, once I went down the crypto rabbit hole, I was working at Bloomberg for a number of years. And Bloomberg being the financial technology giant that it is, you know, we were familiar with what the best of the best products are like, you know, the kind of robustness, just the vast amount of data that it provides. And so that's what got us interested in building a trading platform, a trading product. And then after analyzing some of the exchanges that existed on the industry, like Coinbase and even some other ones, like, for example, Bybit, Binance, some of the futures exchanges and spot exchanges, we realized that the user experience on them was kind of similar. It was targeting very beginner kind of traders, and they were just offering three or four different order types, and that was pretty much it. So we wanted to take it a step further, and we decided that there was an opportunity in this industry to build an exchange that offers advanced trading. And advanced trading, so around that, what we call it is smart trading, basically, right? So we built a smart trading terminal. And, if a trader comes on to our centralized exchange, once it's launched, all they would have to do is just kind of click on this advanced option. So the traditional screen turns into a completely different terminal. And there they can do things which are just not available on any other exchange in this industry. Things like a more advanced level of stop losses, take profits, for example, you know, they can easily do dollar cost averaging. We've built in a TradingView integration. So as you may be familiar with, there are a lot of traders in the space that do technical analysis. And so with our capabilities on our smart trading, they can create their custom strategies on TradingView. And any time there's an alert that goes off, they can program it. Well, I shouldn't use the word program because it's kind of automated. You're not writing any program or code, but you can configure it in a way where you can enter a position, enter a trade, you can enter a stop loss, and you can basically control your trading and automate that whole workflow. We wanted to build all these capabilities, but one of the personal things that I'm really strong about being a product guy for 10 years is user experience, right? So how do we ensure that we build a lot of capabilities, but make them really easy so anybody can benefit from them? So, you know, that's been our focus, and that's why we claim that we're making advanced trading really easy, because any trader who could be a beginner, for example, who's just getting started with trading, to all the way somebody that's a lot more advanced on the retail side specifically, they would be able to benefit with these tools.
Awesome. Awesome. I think that's a really, definitely an awesome overview. And I want to dive into some more specifics, but let's backtrack a little bit to some high level ideas of, you know, what really attracted you to cryptocurrencies in particular? Like, you know, you were at Bloomberg, you were really focused on blockchain and crypto. Was it something philosophical? Was it something economic that really stood out? Because I think a lot of people who are listeners to Crypto 101, they just hear, oh, well, my buddy just made $1,000 maybe on Dogecoin, or my buddy, you bought Cardano and went moon, and like, but they're then starting to realize, oh my God, this is so much more than just speculation. And so for a smart guy like you, who's building companies in here, who's been in it for a long time, maybe you could kind of elucidate what it is that's so attractive about crypto.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I had an idea about what blockchain was at a high level. That was probably throughout 2015, 16. Like, I was familiar that there is such a technology that exists, but I had never really taken the time to look into it until early 2017. And the way that happened was, I'm interested in technology. So I had an alert set up on the Bloomberg terminal to get these notifications for articles that come out around, you know, quantum computing, machine learning. And I'm by no means technical enough to kind of understand those topics deeply, but conceptually and just kind of learning and understanding about the pace that they're developing was something that interested me. And I started to see one article a week kind of come out around Bitcoin and crypto. That was still like early 2017. So the bull market had started, but it was not in full swing yet. And one day I remember I was like, all right, I'm going to go home. I'm going to spend a couple of hours and just kind of look into this and research this and just confirm that whatever idea that I've made up about blockchain in my head after reading some articles, is that really what blockchain is, or is it something different? So I'm going home that night, spent like probably an hour or two just researching, and my mind was quite frankly just blown away, right? I became convinced immediately that this technology had so many use cases, right? Not just trading and financial, but there were so many different industries that could be that could benefit from this. And so, that evening I really couldn't sleep. Like, my mind was just turned on, and I remember going out for a walk and just thinking about all the different ways. Even thinking about enterprise blockchain use cases, right? Like, because that's another area. Since most of my background was in enterprise technology, I even saw benefits there. That was kind of how I got into it, just to kind of enter through the door, and then naturally just buying some Bitcoin and thinking early on in 2017 that I was so late to the party, I was so late to the game. And then I started looking into altcoins, Ethereum, and that was just, more and more fascination, just going deeper and deeper into the space and just kind of learning more about all the technology that was being built around it. And once I started trading altcoins and having to go through that experience from buying some crypto on Coinbase to then having to transfer it to other exchanges, that was the aha moment for me, because I knew how convenient people like things to be, right? Like, there was not a chance that majority of the people would go through that user experience of buying something on Coinbase and then having to figure out, this exchange and this kind of, addresses and transferring funds around. It was too advanced for majority of the public. So that was a good sign for me to identify how early we were in the space. I mean, I still think we're early even today, but yeah, that was sort of like the early phase of what made me go into this industry. And then, you know, I just really wanted to be a part of this space. Like there was so much energy in this industry. It felt like a movement, right? Like so many smart people getting into the space. And it was quite open. Like in 2017, you could have picked your pick, right? Like what kind of company do you want to join? If you had a good background, you could have, you know, like you could have gone and worked at Consensus. You could have worked at Coinbase or Binance. Like things were just opening up and there was just a lot of opportunity to be early on in joining some of these great companies that have grown into giants today, right? But there was, yeah, it was kind of like refreshing to see that there was just so much growth yet to happen in this space and really wanted to capitalize on that and realizing at some point that it would be, there's a high probability of this being a multi-trillion dollar industry, if not more, you know, going into the next 5-10 years, potentially, then, you know, you really want to be a part of something like that. It's not always or every day that you get to see this kind of opportunity.
Yeah, it's just, it's electric, right? You can feel it in the air and you can feel, like you said, the revolutionary vibes, right? Which is really cool. So in crypto, there's lots of different sectors, right? Like you had mentioned, it could affect the media business. It could affect the supply chain business. And then like, as you kind of dive down, there's all sorts of different ways to solve the problems, whether it's through proof of work or through proof of stake. There's DeFi, which is a huge new thing. So kind of like in your mind, is there one particular area that you, like, or innovation or concept in the crypto markets that you think, you know, you really want to talk about, or you think that's really special or landmark?
You know, as simple as it may sound, I think this concept of programmable money is just, it's so vast. It's so vast. And we're starting to see it now with DeFi, right? And even earlier than that, like with all these different crypto coins that were launching, they were sort of like these mini economic experiments. And I'm not an economist, even though I minored in economics. You know, I've kind of forgotten a lot of the good stuff from college days. But it just clicked to me early on that, you know, this concept of programmable money is really powerful. And this is going to pull in not just, you know, crypto enthusiasts, but eventually there's going to be central banks and, you know, real economists getting into this and wanting to kind of capitalize on this, right? Because it's just so powerful. And I think we're going to continue to see experimentation in the coming years. Like we're just getting started and all of this DeFi craze that's happening around yield farming. It's really exciting to see, right? Like these concepts around fair launch and, you know, some people are promoting a project because it's, you know, the teams don't own any tokens, VCs don't own any tokens versus other teams that are also doing really well and are successful and have some great VCs and, you know, team members are definitely getting part of the token supply. So there are all these different dynamics and all these different kind of ecosystems being born right now. I think the experimentation will continue to happen for many years. And it's just getting started. So it's sort of something that, you know, just always excites me. Even going early on, I believe when I got into Bitcoin and, you know, started to kind of understand how it worked with proof of work, Steam was a project that was built in, I think, 2016 or 17. I don't know if it's still anybody still using it, but it was more like a social media project. But I remember reading their white paper in 2017, and it was really just it was like you were reading an economics paper, not really a social media platform white paper, because of all the incentives and all the kind of, you know, game theory built into it. It was pretty interesting, you know? So I feel like this is the most exciting area for me personally, and to kind of see as more and more smart people get into the space, I think we'll start to see some really good examples. And we're already seeing a lot of great examples of kind of, you know, really unique ideas coming to life, especially on the DeFi side now.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think that concept of programmable money and being able to have all these different sorts of financial primitives like lending and borrowing or insurance and basically hard coding these sorts of, you know, formulas and stuff, putting them on a public blockchain, having all these accounts fully, totally transparent and having this whole new accounting system that's totally global and totally transparent and verified by all parties involved in programmable money, like you're saying, is just such a powerful concept. You know, I think about, you know, I remember listening to an Andreas Antonopoulos episode you know, years and years ago, and he was talking about this concept of programmable money. And the guy asked, like, well, what, give me an example. Like, what is, like, what's an advantage of that? And he was like, imagine getting your salary streamed to you every second that you're working, micropayments, right? And the guy's eyes kind of like lit up, and he was like, oh, I get it. Like, having programmable money allows you to completely digitize and speed it up instantaneously, right? There's no more T plus two. There's no more banks are closed on the weekends. There's no more wires have to get in by 1 p.m. or anything like that, right? It's nonstop. It's 24/7. It's money at the speed of life. And it is a concept where, like, down the line, I mean, all of money will be digitized. All of money will be on these open public blockchains. I'm really pumped about it. But Hisham, I want to ask you your thoughts on Bitcoin right now, because Elon Musk is naysaying it. He's saying it's a little energy consumptive, too energy consumptive for him. But there's lots of other alternative coins. And so are you, and I think there's always a bifurcation in the crypto markets of, like, people who are like core believers in Bitcoin only, and then people who are like, well, you know, Bitcoin plus maybe some altcoins. Like, what camp do you really fall under?
I'm not a maximalist by any means, so I'll just clarify that. However, I feel like people underestimate Bitcoin, or maybe they get too bored with it, right? Because once you get into the crypto space and you kind of understand how Bitcoin works, then you start looking at all this, you know, Ethereum and DeFi, and there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of creativity here that's happening. But we forget that, you know, boring and stable and secure is actually a good thing, right? That's right. Exactly what you want. If you want to have
by design.
Exactly. So I feel like, you know, and just talk to people in your circle who are not deeply involved in crypto. Like, they have no idea what DeFi is, or they're now starting to learn about these coins, and they probably just know the names. Like, they don't even know what all this stuff is. It's like a parallel universe. Bitcoin definitely has that kind of brand value, that recognition. It has that safety mechanism of being, you know, kind of live for about 10 or 11 years now. And no other kind of blockchain can compete against that. And maybe something else comes along in the coming years. But at this point, I would say, you know, Bitcoin is definitely here to stay. And the more people that get into it, the stronger it kind of claims as its claim becomes as being the king of cryptocurrency. So I feel like that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There could be plenty of innovation that happens outside of, let's say, Bitcoin directly. And we're seeing that. And you know, so people will definitely have options. Like, they can own Bitcoin if they believe strongly in that. But now they have all these other amazing options to kind of get into, like, the future of finance. And so to me, you know, I don't fall necessarily into one camp or another. I feel like this technology is going to change the world, and it's already doing that. And if it's going to be Bitcoin or it's going to be something else, that's totally fine. Like, you know, we shouldn't be married to one or the other. It's about really what this technology is going to enable us to do. And that's what we should focus on. I feel like, you know, just kind of the benefits and the advantages that some of the ones that you just mentioned, right? The ability to kind of do, like, these micropayments, the ability to have people be taking more control of their financial assets and financial future. So that's more important to me than kind of necessarily following one camp or the other, or kind of just being a hardcore believer in one thing.
Amen. It's really more of, like, that unified, you know, all the rising tide lifts all boats, as opposed to the pseudo religiosity of, like, Bitcoin only and everything else is a scam, or Ethereum only and everything else is going to zero. It's like, hey, well, you know, let's kind of all get along. Like, it's all going to work out. It's kind of my approach as well. One of the things I wanted to kind of backtrack on and ask you about was CCAI's DEX. And so you guys have a decentralized exchange, and is it? I want to know, like, a little bit more about it. What's it built on, and what are some of the plans there?
Yeah, absolutely. So would love to kind of talk about that. Yeah, at CCAI, you know, we're building this kind of bridge between CeFi and DeFi, right? We see that there's going to be a really amazing future for both of them. I don't think CeFi is going away anytime soon.
And CeFi, for those who are listening who don't know, it's centralized finance. So, like, all the centralized exchanges.
Yes. And really, like, you know, what we wanted to do with this decentralized exchange, and the reason we even got into it, is in 2020, we saw the rise of, you know, DeFi, decentralized finance, yield farming. And there was just like, finally, you know, the ideas that we'd been hearing about since 2017, they were coming to life, and there was real money on the line. And, you know, things were starting to look really good with billions of dollars starting to pour into the space. So that was really refreshing. And for my team and I, we got into this industry because of the promise of decentralization. So naturally, that was like, you know, something that attracted us. And we wanted to see how we can add value in the space. And around that time, around summer of 2020, as we were kind of researching and looking to see how we can contribute to the DeFi movement, we learned about this project called Serum. Serum was being built by Alameda and FTX. You know, those guys are pretty much, you know, at the cutting edge of everything, right? So
pretty much the kingmakers at this point.
Right. So they were and they were building that on top of the Solana blockchain. And that was the first like kind of we'd heard of Solana. And so we took that opportunity as a team to kind of look into it a little deeply. And I believe we were either the first or one of the first decentralized exchanges to launch on Solana, incorporating this Serum technology, which is the order matching on the blockchain. And once we did that, and you know, we really were like, all right, let's experiment a little bit with our DEX. And when it was time to test it, I'll tell you, I hit click on the trade, and it happened in under a second on a fully decentralized exchange. A trade happening under a second. It was quite a powerful experience. And that's when I realized that this could be a game changer, right? The Solana blockchain is definitely onto something. And we started to kind of, you know, look into it, research it, and eventually became big believers and wanted to be early in this ecosystem. Because once again, user experience and, you know, user experience is key. If you're going to bring in millions, hundreds of millions, or potentially billions of people into the blockchain crypto ecosystem, it has to be excellent user experience, and things should be working as people expect them to, and kind of like the speed and the reliability that they're used to. So that was really powerful. And so we started kind of improving our decentralized exchange on Solana. Ever since then, we've launched our CCAI wallet. So Solana is still a fairly new ecosystem. It is seeing tremendous growth. Like, you know, so many amazing teams are starting to build on it now. And I believe their hackathon had like thousands of developers or, you know, people kind of participating. So it's really refreshing to see that kind of excitement about a new blockchain and, you know, what it could mean for the future of the crypto trading industry. So we've been kind of doubling down. We built the wallet because, you know, there were some feedback from our community that the Solana wallet experience was kind of raw at that time. And even now there are a couple of companies that are actually building some cool stuff, some cool wallets. But, you know, we built our CCI wallet, our DEX, and we're actually working on a few other really awesome features that I can't speak too much about at this moment. But yeah, there's going to be some stuff coming out on our DEX. And the goal is, at the end of it all, that if a trader wants to come in and start using CCAI, they can easily do that, either go and trade on our centralized exchange, right? Like they can trade spot markets, they can trade futures. And then if they wanted to identify or get into like a coin that's only listed on the decentralized exchange or do some yield farming, they can easily transfer funds from our centralized exchange to the CCAI wallet and capitalize on the opportunities in the DeFi ecosystem. And all of that will be offered within one platform. So you don't really have to go and use all these other kind of exchanges and have to move money around to various different tools and wallets and kind of DEXs. So our goal is to bring it all and streamline the whole thing in kind of one ecosystem, one product.
So in theory, or I guess in practice, actually, a listener could go and they could open up an account at cryptocurrencies.ai. And then would they be able to effectively trade and source liquidity on all the different platforms through your platform? Or like is yours like a brokerage account that connects it to a lot of different exchanges? Or do they still need like, you know, like a Binance account and a KuCoin account and all that kind of stuff?
So yeah, great question. Anybody who registers on our exchange, so currently it's under closed beta. We're getting it ready to launch the centralized exchange. Our decentralized exchange is already live. Our wallet is already live. So I encourage everyone to go and try it and see and experience the power of Solana And you'll be amazed. But the centralized exchange itself, you'll just be registering with us through one account. So you're not going to be basically going to other exchanges and kind of registering there first. Once you register with us, we have partners for liquidity. And, you know, the biggest being Binance. So we realized in kind of early on that there were a lot of exchanges which had launched in 2017, 18, and even 19 that failed. And it was really for two reasons. It's either a lack of innovation or lack of liquidity, right? So while we were tackling this innovation through our smart trading and all of the features that I mentioned to you, which are sort of like the industry first on our exchange, the liquidity was still going to be key for us. So we established a partnership with Binance, which has the world's, you know, deepest liquidity, right? And so traders who register on CCAI and trade can tap into Binance's liquidity. So their trades will always be getting filled at really, really good prices. And there's not going to be this issue of, you know, slippage or not having enough liquidity to fill your orders. And we feel like that's going to improve the user experience quite a lot. And it won't feel like you're registered on a brand new exchange or things are just kind of not executing for you. So yeah, I hope that kind of explains it.
Yeah, it definitely does. And what's honestly the kicker, right, is that there's built-in strategies and there's built-in tools that help people to actually get their edge as opposed to just going to an exchange and clicking buy haphazardly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we feel like, you know, we have things and they can do just buy if they wanted to, but we encourage everyone to kind of do, you know, better risk management. Just use the tools. While we can't guarantee profits, we could guarantee you that we'll give you the necessary tools to navigate this market and the volatility in a better way. So you'll have more options. You can configure things early on and then just kind of let the market ride. You're not going to be hopefully glued to your screen and, you know, manually executing trades when the market is going up or down in a quick move. And you'll just kind of have all that ready for you, already kind of configured.
I love it. Is there anything else we hadn't touched on with CCI before we get to the closing question here?
I think the biggest thing for us is really like to encourage your listeners to go try it out, try out our products. We are a really product-driven team. So we love user feedback. You know, if things are working, things suck. You know, if you have some feature requests, anything that we could do to help improve your user experience, that's really what we're here for. And that's really, really important for us. So, you know, would encourage everyone to try out definitely our wallet and the decentralized exchange. Our goal is to make our decentralized exchange as intuitive as a centralized exchange. So hopefully the onboarding process should be fairly, you know, smooth and anybody can really go in and get started on it. So feedback is the number one thing. And we hope to kind of have, a pretty solid community that gives us feedback and keeps us honest and keeps us building the things that they would love for us to build.
Well, I can promise you that Crypto 101 listeners, aka Crypt Nation, they're a very vocal community, and they're not scared to tell it like it is. So everybody go check the show notes. There'll be links there to check out this awesome project. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We'll talk to you soon.